Blog Talk Radio.
Mind Shift Radio.
Gentlemen, welcome to another edition of Mind Shift Talk Radio. I am your host, Stacey Emery, joined by my awesome and phenomenal co-host, the lovely Dr. Ayo Kedar, the natural Zen diva, and the fabulous motivational minister himself, Mr. Billy Miller. It is Monday. It is the magnificent Monday. Always excited to be here on Mind Shift Talk Radio. And as always, we have another inspiring, encouraging, and motivational message to share with you guys. For those of you that follow us on Facebook, we've been posting. Dr. Ayo Kedar also did a video promoting this week's show. And really what we're talking about is something that affects so many of us, whether directly or indirectly. Now, this week we'll be talking about weight discrimination. For those of you that have been following the shows, we've been talking about health and wellness, and having some phenomenal people come on the show to just bless us with so much great information in terms of how to take care of ourselves, not only physically, but also mentally. And last week, we went ahead and we did a show about stress management and really about confronting stress and those issues that lead to stress, as well as depression and anxiety and other issues in our lives that we have to confront. And so it leads right into this week's discussion about weight discrimination. Now, for those of you that are in the Atlanta area, you may be familiar with this story. There was a story that took place this summer here in Atlanta, and it really hit home for many of us, primarily for me because I know the individual that was affected by this, and just to hear her story and to see her strength and to see her resolve during this time, I mean, I totally commend her. And I'm so thankful that she was willing to come on Mind Shift Talk Radio tonight to share her story, because truly her story is one that does encourage and that does uplift people. You know, despite what it looks like, you can go onto Google and you can Google her name and you can see tons of links and pages of information and different versions of the story. But fortunately for those of you that are tuning in tonight, you get to hear the real story, you know, directly from her mouth as it went down. And also, we think it's important not for us to look so much at just the surface of this story, but to really look at the psychological impact and the effects of this. Because as I said before, you know, with Mind Shift Talk Radio, we talk about healthy perspectives, looking at things from a healthy perspective and a different view in regards to several different topics. And for this tonight, we ask that you keep an open mind as she shares this story. I really encourage you to have an open mind. If you have any thoughts, any questions, any concerns, we encourage you to join us online via the chat room, or you can feel free to call in and express yourself. You can reach us at area code 347-989-0206. So again, 347-989-0206. Let us know what your thoughts are. If you can relate to the story, anything that you want to share, feel free to call us or join us in the chat room. But, you know, without any further ado, I do want us to go ahead with this interview. As I said, this is a phenomenal woman, just has such an amazing heart, truly a compassionate, beautiful spirit. And again, just we're so fortunate to have her here. So Michelle Bonville is our special guest for tonight. Michelle, can you hear me?
Yes, I can, Stacey.
Yes, awesome. Thank you so much for joining us for tonight's show for Mind Shift Talk Radio. We really appreciate you being here.
Thank you for having me on your show tonight.
Definitely. Now, like we've promoted, your show has made headlines. You know, just you've been all over different several radio stations and TV stations sharing this story. I would like for you to just go ahead and share that story with our listeners that may not be familiar with what took place here this summer.
Yes. I actually went to a local nail salon that I had frequented in the past to get my manicure and pedicure done. Having a wonderful experience in the beginning, and it turned into a nightmare towards the end. As I was sitting, allowing my nails to dry, I just looked at the menu board and I realized that I'd actually been overcharged. And when I motioned for the owner, I guess she was the owner. I assume she was the owner or the manager or something, to come over. The person that had put in my car, I asked her to come over, and I said, I think I've been overcharged. And she said, no, you haven't. And I asked her to break down the price and everything, and she broke down the prices to me, and she said, I charge you $5 more because you were overweight. And it was needless to say, I could not believe what she had just said. I really couldn't believe it. And I then replied, I said, you can't charge me $5 more, you know, because I'm overweight. You can't discriminate against me for my weight. And she said, if I had been in here when you came in, I wouldn't have taken you. As if she had insulted me enough, I mean, she just slapped me in the face again. And I really, you know, tears were just forming in my eyes, but I knew I had to maintain my composure. And then I actually did go back and get my $5 back, and she came back and she asked me not to come back in the salon because of my weight.
Wow.
And I really couldn't believe it. And I actually wasn't thinking that the story would go as far as it did, which I'm glad it did because so many people have really spoken out about it, the story. But the thing was, I just wanted to make sure that nobody else was mistreated in that manner and wanted to make sure that nobody else was overcharged and just not aware of it. You know, that wasn't right. And I just really felt, you know, I was so humiliated, really humiliated. I know I'm overweight, but I've never broken a chair or done any harm in any, you know, place that I've gone. And I just couldn't imagine someone would treat another human in such a manner. And the thing is, you know, my cry out was, don't discriminate against people because they're overweight. And first and foremost, you don't know their story. You don't know what they've been through, and you don't know how you could set them back. I could have been the type of person to just go and just regress and just, you know, you never know what I could have done. Or someone else may not be as strong as I am, and it could cause a number of things to, you know, happen, you know, in a person's life. That was a very, very, very hurtful experience for me. And it was so ironic that on that particular day, I had made a conscious decision to really not drink, you know, Pepsi and drinks and soft drinks and stuff because I really wanted to get my weight under control. And it was so funny that she said that on the day that I had made that decision, stop drinking sodas and to start being more conscious of foods that I eat and everything. And then that came about. But I didn't let it deter me. I have still carried on. I've still been on my goal of really maintaining the foods that I eat and drink. And actually, from that day up until this one, I have lost 31 pounds. So, you know, yes, it has been. I refuse to give her authority and power, you know, in that manner, and I chose to continue to do what I was doing.
Congratulations. That is awesome. Now, I do want to know, what type of response have you been receiving from people since coming out and sharing this story?
For the most part, it was I have really gotten a lot of support. A lot of people were speaking out. You know, people spoke out for various reasons. You know, you had people who were overweight themselves, or just people speaking out about someone just coming into our communities and mistreating you within your community, you know. So it was various reasons, but for the most part, I have gotten a lot of support. I did get a hate letter, you know, as I shared with you and everything, but I think that was an isolated incident. I haven't gotten any other, you know, hate mail or anything like that. But for the most part, like I said, people have been really, really supportive. different organizations have come together to start things to really support people that are, you know, overweight or trying to make a transition and or trying to lose weight. I have been in one event, My Big is Beautiful, just supporting where you are, you know, loving you, because you have to love you where you are right now before you can go and lose weight or go on any further. I believe once I accepted who I was, the size I was and everything, then I could start to say, okay, let's deal with these issues that cause you to be overweight in the first place, you know. And I thank God that I have had an opportunity to really deal with some of the underlying psychological issues that I feel really caused me to hold on to weight for so many years.
Definitely. Now, I do want to talk more about those issues, because I'm sure whatever those issues are that have affected you this way are affecting other people as well. But before we talk about that, in the chat room, a couple of the folks in the chat room were asking about the hate letter. Exactly what's that about? What do you mean, the hate letter?
Yes, I got a hate letter, and I don't know if I'm at liberty to say exactly what it said. Am I?
Well, yeah, you can give us an idea. I'm pretty sure you can. You don't have to share any names, but yeah, you can tell us what it said.
Yes. The letter read, Hi, Lard ASS Michelle, and it said, I would have charged you $50 for being overweight and $100 for being ugly. You are so ugly that not even being white could help you. And I dismissed that because I said, I may be overweight, but one thing for sure, I know I'm not ugly. So
that's right.
So I dismissed it. It was just, I said, it takes all type of people to make up the world, even Jack behind is what I said. I just said, you know, I haven't even worried about it anymore.
Well, I thank God that you did not let that letter, you know, negatively affect you. I mean, it's so easy for some people to read something like that and just lose it. I mean, especially considering what you already had gone through. I mean, not only did you have that experience at the nail shop, but then I'm sure you had so many people reaching out to you. I know the radio stations and the news stations were reaching out to you. So I'm sure your life was turned upside down for a minute as a result of all of this happening. And then to have someone come and send a letter like that.
Yes. Stacey, you're talking about my life turned upside down. I have never gotten so many phone calls in my life. I got just calls from everyone, and when they couldn't reach me, they were contacting my husband, because after we did the interview with this one news station, because this story went nationwide off one news station, I did the story, and I went out of town to my family reunion. Before I could get to North Carolina, it was all over the internet, all over everywhere. Inside Edition was calling, just some of everybody, radio stations from California on here, local radio stations. I, you know, just did shows with everyone that I could really get that message out there to. And you had some that tried to make a mockery out of it, but of course, you know, God just, he intervened. So it was, like I said, it has been a really tremendous experience for me. I never in a million years I'd ever have to go through anything of such, but you know, it happened to me, and God chose me for some reason to allow me to go through that and speak out for people and to speak up for someone else, you know, that may otherwise not say anything.
Right. And it sounds like you've experienced so much growth during this whole experience, and that's definitely a blessing. And even more so that you're willing to share the story, like you said, because there's so many other people that are being impacted by it and that are being affected by the same thing. I truly believe there are other people that probably have had the same situation or similar situations and just have not had the courage or been able to come out and share their story. And we commend you for being able to come out and share your story. But I do want to talk more, like we said, about the whole psychological aspects and that whole dimension behind it. And you said there were some things that, you know, went on with you that have led to the weight gain you know, when I was doing the post for the show, I was just talking about even obesity being an epidemic, a growing epidemic. But I do want to hear more about some of the things that have affected you and have caused you to turn to food. I remember when we were talking personally about this, you talked about turning to food for comfort and so forth. So share some of that with us.
One thing for me in growing up, and I experienced so much verbal, physical, sexual abuse from an age of 9 to 15 years old. It was so unimaginable. And food was always a comforting, you know, thing to me. I could eat and just escape from everything. And then I think, like for me, I didn't want to be, being sexually abused, I didn't want attention on me. And I think that that was a way to keep attention from being on me, per se. You know, if I was overweight, then he won't want to look at me. I think psychologically that's how I thought for so many years. If you carried the weight, if you held on to the weight, it was a shield. You didn't have to, you know, be looked at sexually, because I didn't want to be looked at as a sexual object, you know. No matter what, that's how it was at all times, you know, no matter what I did. And I didn't want to be looked in that manner. And I think that holding on to the weight, or having some weight per se, was, you know, okay. And then it just got out of hand. And through having children and everything, I just never really lost the weight. And you know, it kind of makes you think that you're comfortable, but I really wasn't. I've never been really comfortable being overweight. Never really liked it. And then, as a matter of fact, until just recently, I wouldn't even take full pictures and everything to just not look at myself, per se. And when my photographer, when he actually took the whole picture of myself, I didn't realize, and I really, truly didn't realize that I was, you know, as large as I was. You know, I really did not realize that. And I had to really take a good look at myself to say, Michelle, it's time for you to do something about it. And like I said, you know, since this journey began, I've lost 31 pounds, and I'm continuing to lose, working out with a trainer, exercising 3-4 days a week, and watching what I eat and definitely what I drink now. And it's been awesome.
I tell you, I'm still, you know, I'm listening to, I'm still stuck on the part when you talked about how you didn't want people to look at you as a sexual object, and you turned to food. And we hear so many stories of, you know, child molestation, and you can go so many different ways with that. You hear about some, I'll speak to it in terms of women, in terms of girls. But girls that turn to a life of promiscuity, you have some people that just fall into deep depression. You hear stories of suicide, but you never really hear of this one. I don't think it's discussed as much, you know, just talking about the weight and how you hold on to the weight. And I think so many people have the misconception that people are large and gain weight just because they like to eat. I don't think we really take the time in general, as a society in whole, to say, you know what else is leading to this? You know, there's one thing that can say, yeah, it's genetic, or, you know, it's just bad habits and bad behaviors. But to hear other things like this, like you said, deep issues that lead to the eating and so forth. And I think once you get to that point where you're turning to food for comfort, it's difficult for most people to turn from that. You know, at what point you say, okay, enough already. Now for you, you know, fortunately at this point you've said, okay, it's enough. Once you saw that picture, that was an eye-opener for you. But even at that point, once you say, okay, it's time to make a change, how do you make the change? How do you get started?
I think it's through, really for me, it's just through prayer. I do have a personal trainer as well, and I thank God for her. I'm really helping me, but you have to just, I guess when you get sick and tired, you will do something about it. And I just made that determination and that conscious decision to just go and do something about this thing. And then like I said, everyone said, you should sue, you should sue, you should sue. Well, I decided to just, it would be better for me to lose the weight and help other people to do the same thing and show them how I did it and help so many more people. The little monetary, the little minute money I could have gotten from a lawsuit, it wouldn't help anybody. You know, it may help me for a moment, but I think that if I could help someone else that's been in my situation and been through what I've been through to overcome weight issues and everything, that would be everlasting. And that's what I'm looking for, something that's going to be everlasting, to really help somebody eternally, because I know how much of a struggle it has been for me. When, you know, you hear people, you just lose the weight. It's not that easy. It's some other thing. Why I don't just wake up every day and decide, oh, I'm just going to stay overweight. No, it's other issues behind it. It's a lot. I mean, from the age of 9 to 15 years old, I was molested by my stepfather. And the mind manipulation, all the things that I had to endure as a result, and not only just did he abuse me, you know, molest me, but then he was physically abusing my mother. He was physically abusing me and my siblings. I mean, verbally, mentally, every abuse imaginable is what we endured in our household growing up. And it's just, you know, my brother came out and he was schizophrenic. You know, he developed schizophrenia. I overate. My sister had other issues. So we endured a lot in our household, you know. And we came from a household, and I'm not sure if your mother told you this, but we were so poor. And when you did, I mean, we ate every night, thank God. But Mama told us, you better eat everything on your plate. So regardless whether you were hungry or not, that I think that also helped to add to it as well, being told you had to eat everything on your plate. So when you were hungry, I mean, when you were full, you still had to eat. You know, you couldn't throw anything away. And I'm just now getting out of that mind frame where I feel comfortable throwing something away. I had to force myself to throw some food away. I'm just now getting to that point.
Wow.
So it's a lot of underlying psychological things that I've been through, I think, that really did cause the weight gain. And I'm not denying eating and laying down. It's a lot of things. It's not that I just overeat, because I think I eat more now than I was, you know, during the course of a day than I was before, and I'm losing weight now. It's just I've chosen to eat different foods and drink different drinks and stuff, you know.
Right. You've had that mind shift, right?
Right. It's a mind shift, totally, and I refuse to go back. And I'm now, before, I could not, I would always say, I want to lose weight, but I could not envision it. Now I see myself thinner. I see myself, you know, how my life would be without the weight on. You know, I can actually see it, as opposed to look at a garment and wish for it. You know what I'm saying?
Definitely.
You can see it. You can see it.
I have a question.
Yeah, right?
I have a question. Do you think that you are, excuse me, do you think that that most people that are overweight, that that's where it stems from? Stems from, it's actually an emotional, emotional issues versus, you know, do you think that's more of the norm? Versus, because we don't really hear that talked about as much as everything else when it's related to being overweight.
I really do believe it stems mostly from emotional issues. And if you can heal from the emotional issues, then the weight is just a byproduct of what you really had going on emotionally. So I think if you can heal from that, like I was telling Stacy, I said, you know, I had to first learn how to forgive. I had to first forgive my stepfather for what he did to me before I could go on any further. And I know what he did to me for so long. I remember it from 9 to 15. It could have started before then, but that's when I remember it. And it's like a scar that I have. I know when that incident happened. I know, you know, the scar is still there, but the pain doesn't, I don't feel the pain anymore from it. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I don't have the pain associated with the molestation anymore. I now want to go out to help other people to recognize the signs in their children, to help other people speak out about it, about I say prison that they're in, because it is a prison when you hold these deep, dark secrets inside and you don't get it out. Mm-hmm. It really keeps you in prison.
Mm.
Hey, Michelle, have people been reaching out to you since the story broke that have been going through similar situations?
Yes, a lot of people. And I'm actually a part of a group called Women Stand Together. That's with one of our local radio personalities, Wanda Smith. And right now we have 103 of us, and most of us, you know, they have various reasons why they were overweight. Some were molested. Some went through a bad divorce. Some people, you know, had a death in the family. It was a lot of, like I said, emotional things that caused them to just lose control of themselves, per se. But a lot of people have reached out to me. Even aside from there.
That's awesome. And I noticed that Chris Goss was just posting in the chat room, and he said it takes a team, it takes a good support system. And that goes along with what you just said about that group of the 103 of you that are coming together, I guess, as accountability partners, right?
Right.
To help each other. Awesome. Right. Okay. So what are some of the things, some of the aspects of that program that you like as far as that support group? What are some things that they offer?
First thing, I just like the fact that we can just let our hair down, just let it all out. We talk about whatever we want to talk about, you know. And I think talk therapy, talking things out, helps you to heal better than anything else in the world. We get a chance to just, like I say, just let it out. Envision places that we want to go, things that we want to do, dream big, you know. It's just so many things that we do. It's just that we laugh, we cry together, we're losing weight together. You know, it's just friendship, just togetherness, just being a team, being a part of a support group in general where we can be ourselves, you know, just 3 hours out of, well, every other Sunday, just go and just hang out with your sisters and just be who you are, and you could just let it all out. Just let anything that's ailing you, let it out, you know.
Right.
And just help talk to each other, support each other, lift each other up, you know, along the way. But there are so many things that we do in that particular group.
Awesome. And even when joining something like that, it's so important to have that open mind and to be open to share, because I would think, like you said, if you guys are there letting your hair down and crying and so forth, you have to be willing to be very transparent, right?
Right, right. We are very, very transparent. And it's just, you know, one young lady, we had an incident where we were supposed to bring an outfit that we wanted to wear once we get to our weight limit and everything. And for the ladies that did not bring theirs and did not do as we were supposed to do, we had to do modeling. You know, we had to go and model, and Wanda, you know, she let the comedian side of her come out, and it was just joking and laughter and fun. But then one young lady, she said, you know, I thank you guys because you guys allow me to come back from 2002. You brought back the person that I really am. So she was so thankful because she was just, she hadn't laughed in so long, you know, like that. She had suffered with depression. So it's just different things for different people within that group.
Right.
And the one thing we've all done together, we all did a vision board together, you know, and it allowed us to dream. And a lot of us, we really realized that we were afraid to dream,
to dream big, you know. It like for me, I wondered for so long, I was supposed to do this vision board and what happened, you know. But then when I started doing it, I said, well, God, you know, I was putting limitations on myself, putting limitations on God, you know. And it has been just so liberating just to do the vision board, you know, and get it completed and to dream and to really say, you know, I'm worthy of whatever I do feel like, you know, I desire, I'm worthy of it. And God is a big God and he can do anything, you know. Mm-hmm. It's just up to me. I was putting limitations on God.
Hmm. Billy. Can you hear me, Billy? Okay. I don't hear Billy right
now. Is this Billy?
Yeah, we may have lost Billy because I was expecting him to make a comment at that point. I was like, Billy, I just knew he was going to have something at that point. But, Michelle, I don't know if you've listened to the show before or followed us on Facebook, but just going back to that group you were talking about, now one thing that we're all committed to and we're passionate about is Operation New Creation. And I talked to you about it briefly because going back to the support and the importance of having that support system and those accountability partners, that's what our mission is with Operation New Creation. And I asked the questions about what it is that you find most beneficial about the group that you're in and what type of resources are offered because, you know, we truly believe the same thing, that it's important for people to have that support group. It's important to have that network of people that are there that you can be comfortable with, that you can be transparent with, that you can share your story with, but that are going to help you and they're going to encourage you and motivate you to stay on course. Now, as I said before, it starts with a decision. You know, for you, it was looking at a picture. You looked at a picture and you said, okay, I can't do this anymore. But for some people, there's different reasons. Different aha moments or you guys know where I'm going with this, but there's different experiences that bring them to the point where they say, okay, it's time to make a change. And for me at this point, just thinking about your story, I keep going back to, I mean, for you, it's been an issue since you were 9 years old, obviously. But I'm curious to know, outside of the picture that you saw, what do you think has helped you to get to this point now where you're able and you're committed to make the change? Because clearly, even though you hadn't seen that picture before, I'm sure you've looked in the mirror or you've had people make comments and so forth. Why do you think it's at this point now that you're finally able to say, okay, I'm going to do something different?
Because once I started exercise and walking and I started enjoying it and I started feeling the results in my body and feeling better and I did things that I didn't think I could do. You know, at first, when I first got on the treadmill, I couldn't even stay on the treadmill for 3 minutes without feeling like I was going to die. Now I can go 20 minutes strong and I'm okay, you know. And I feel my body getting stronger. I feel lighter. I feel better. You know, I'm not lethargic. And if this is what I have to do, to just feel better in my body, not have joints aching and different things, that's what I want to continue on. And I can only imagine if I continue to go on exactly how I'll feel later. You know, if I feel just 31 pounds lighter and I feel the way that I feel now, just imagine once I'm 50 pounds lighter, you know, and that's what's encouraging me to keep on going, just the way that I actually feel right now.
Definitely.
I think that's what drives me and motivates me. And then I want to live a long time. I have children. I want to see my children, my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren, you know. And,
right.
and I understand if I stay on the course, as I was sharing with my sister, you know, I remember about 5 or 6 years ago, it was between 5 and 6 years ago, I was 100 pounds lighter than I am today. And just imagine if I stay on that course of gaining 20 pounds a year and the more sedentary my life becomes, just imagine where I'll be, you know,
mm-hmm.
if I continue on that course. And that's what was just mind-boggling to me as well. If I continue to gain 20 pounds, 25 pounds per year, where will I be by the time I'm 50 years old if I don't do something about it?
Right. And so how has your mind shift affected those people that are connected to you? Like, how has your mind shift affected your husband and your children?
Oh, my God. My everybody's so excited, and now they're wanting to get on this journey with me. They're not overweight, but just eating healthier, eating different, and just choosing to have a healthier lifestyle, not eating as many chips as they would ordinarily want to eat and stuff. My husband is now talking about stopping to drink soft drinks also and just drink water, you know, like I drink. I just drink water now, and I'm satisfied. And he's talking about doing the same thing.
Awesome.
So it's actually, and my sister's coming on board, one of my friends. I mean, it's just so many people within my sphere of influence, they're all wanting to join me and do what I do, you know, so that they can lose weight and just feel better. I guess they see me feeling full of joy and lively. I don't have to lay in the bed and say, okay, I need 30 more minutes of sleep. I can jump up now. I'm okay, you know.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm. So Michelle, so if this incident hadn't happened, do you feel that you would be on the path that you're on now?
I don't think I would be on the path that I'm on right now and in the degree that I am. I don't think I would have a personal trainer if this incident had not happened. I really don't. I would have been losing weight because, like I said, I had made that decision to stop drinking the drinks and watching the foods that I eat and stuff. But I don't think I would have had as much of a, you know, as good of a result because I wouldn't have had certain people in my life to really help to keep me going in that positive direction. I know for a fact that my support group has helped tremendously in me, you know, doing what I'm doing, because when I wanted to give up it the first week of working out in the gym, my trainer just pushed me and said, "You can do this, Michelle. You can do more than what you think you can do." You know, that encouraged.
Wow, so it was a wake up call.
This whole incident. Oh my God! This, you know, like I said, I'm not mad at that woman, and I said I was going to go in there and thank her. She really helped me. She probably saved my life. To be really honest with you, she probably saved my life. Just those words that she said, the humiliation that she made me feel, I'm just using that as fuel, and you know, just, you know, fuel to help other people to not ever have to go through that, you know. She probably did save my life. I just chose to take that negative, what she did and said, and turn it into a positive. And I'm sure, I mean, I believe, God, that I can help so many more people than what she could ever do putting people down, you know.
Wow, because did I read somewhere that it was like, they were saying, like, the chair had a certain weight limit and the cost to repair the chair was their concern? Is that?
Yeah, you read correctly.
But I think they said, like, what was $5 going to do to help repair a chair?
It was just
ridiculous.
I know. It was really ridiculous. But she, from what her statement was that her chair cost, I think she said $2,500 to repair. And it's not fair that she only charges $24 for a manicure pedicure. And someone breaks the chair and she has to pay out $2,500, I think it was. And I've never broken a chair. And my take to that is, if you are not careful, you can weigh 100 pounds. And if you are just a person that is destructive, you can tear up any, you know, a chair. You don't have to be an overweight person to break a chair, per se. But I'm not sure who broke her chair. I've never broken any chairs in a salon before, and like I said, I've sat on chairs in my home for 10 years or more and never broke a chair, you know, so I'm not sure where that came from. But then in my thing, I could have given her a rebuttal to that, because basically what she, in our county, unfortunately, over 50% of us are probably that are frequenting her salon is over 200 pounds. And from what she says, that chair can only hold 200 pounds. That's the weight capacity on it. So for the sake of our money, you know, she's putting our health and our safety in jeopardy by allowing us to sit in these chairs. You know what I'm saying? So I think that was a poor decision. I really think that those big chairs can take more than a 200-pound capacity.
I mean, definitely. Like Kyle said, what is that $5 going to do? And we were talking about this before, about men going in there to get manicures and pedicures and stuff. And I know these men are over 200 pounds as well.
Right.
So,
right.
Come on. Like, really.
But then how do you feel about, since we're talking about weight discrimination, how do you feel about, you know, when if you have to get charged for two seats on an airplane? Do you think that is, you know, is that unfair?
I do think it's unfair, but I do, the thing about that is, I know up front they're not sneaking these charges in on me. I don't think it's right. I do think it's unfair, but I do understand why if I'm taking up two seats and the seats are really small and, you know, you have to put a person, you know, a space in between your seats or whatever. But they're letting you know this up front. This is what I'm going to do if you choose to ride my plane. You understand what I'm saying? But she didn't tell me anything about a $5 surcharge for being overweight. If I had not paid attention, I wouldn't have ever known that I was being overcharged $5 for being overweight. If I had not, you know, looked at the board and saw a difference. And I think that that's where I felt, you know, she just price gouged on me because I'm overweight, and she's probably not going to recognize that I've charged her this $5 extra anyway. You know, that's how I feel. It was really deception on her part. The airlines, they put it out and in front. It's our choice to actually get on that plane and ride the plane or not. You know, we have a choice in the matter, whether we think it's right or wrong. You know, they still let you know this is what I'm going to do, and you choose if you want to ride with us or not. She just said, okay, I'm just looking down on you. You're fat. I'm charging you more money. You're probably not going to pay attention anyway. You know, and if I had been in a hurry, I wouldn't have paid attention. I really wouldn't have paid attention, but I actually had a little bit of extra time on my hand that particular morning and just was very just cognizant, you know, about my surroundings and just looking at the board and just, you know, and happened to see that. And I think that was, and looking in hindsight, it was done for a reason. I really believe that God allowed me to see that for a reason, because I've been in that salon and other salons numerous times, and they tell me what the price is or what the charge is, and I just give them my debit card and let them take it, and never paid attention to anything, never really broke down what they were actually charging me, you know. But I knew on that particular day I didn't get any designs, I didn't get anything extra, so I shouldn't have been charged anything extra. You know, and like I said, I did look at the board and I was like, you know, really saw that I had been overcharged, just didn't know exactly how much, you know, I was overcharged. But then she told me she charged me $5 more, like I said, because I was overweight.
Well, imagine how many other people have been charged and never even noticed that.
Oh, I know they have.
Right. Definitely. Now, and that's really what this is all about, again, with you telling your story, because we have to use these experiences that we have like this to be able to bless other people and to help other people come out with it. But what do you want to see happen as a result of you sharing this story? What are you hoping to see happen?
I hope to see other people, like I said, that's been in my situation, really speak. If you've been treated unjustly in any kind of way, and you know, whether it be weight or whatever the situation is, I really hope that people will speak out about it. Don't let people just treat you like she did me and not speak out about it. And sometimes, you know, in our community, unfortunately, we act out in rage, and that really doesn't get anything done. I want to speak out and let our people know in our community how this woman, she operates her business please be mindful if you do choose to continue to frequent her. But there are, I have learned, there are wonderful people that will take care of our nails and everything else and treat you with dignity and just roll out the red carpet for you. You have a choice in the matter. You don't have to choose to go to people who just don't value you at all, you know. You don't have to go through that. And I would ask and plead for people to really seek out and just don't just go just because it's the local shop right just around the corner to get your nails done. Really seek out someone who and support your community when you do spend your money. You know, if I could say that, support your community, support people who actually have your best interest at mind, and that really would treat you with dignity and respect. And then again, I would love for people to just join me in choosing to live a healthier lifestyle and deal with the underlying issues that have caused you to be overweight for so long. And let's just do this thing together and just lose the weight and just live healthier, happier lives.
Definitely. Thank you for that. Io or Billy, do you have any other comments that you want to share before we let our guests go?
You know, I think, okay, wait, Billy's having technical difficulties. So he said, does she know if there's been any other complaints? Do you know if there's been any other complaints against the nail salon?
Oh, yes. When we were out doing our protest against it, a police officer came up, and he said that he'd gone in there, and she overcharged him because he was a man. She told him she was charging him more because he was a male. So, yeah.
Wow.
Pardon me, I'm sorry.
And so she just makes up rules just that she decides to?
Yes, that's exactly what she does. And I have, you know, one of my daughter's friends, her mom called me and she says, Michelle, I can't believe that she did that to you, but let me tell you what she did to me. I complained because they cut my nails too close, and she refused her services anymore. And she'd been frequenting her for 10 years. So she has bad practices all the way around, you know. And then my girlfriend, she says, Michelle, I thought I was paying. She's large in stature as well. She says, I thought I was paying more money than the other salon I used to go to, but I never understood why, you know. And she said she probably was overcharging me too, and I just didn't know it. So it's been a number of complaints about her and people speaking out against her. And then the good thing that I have seen is sisters within my own community have had increases in their businesses as a result of this incident as well.
Mm. Okay. It sounds like it's not even so much an issue of discrimination in terms of her charging more money. It's just like she's just an opportunity. She's looking for any opportunity to charge people for more, more money for their services.
Right.
If they're men, if they're short, if they're tall, if whatever it is, it sounds like she's just looking for any excuse to charge people
not
more.
Not paying attention. I'm not sure. She didn't charge my daughter's friend more money. She just refused her services because she complained about her nails being cut too short. You know, so if you make a complaint, I'm sure she'll be out of business soon. She's putting her own self out of business. No one else is. If you keep mistreating people and so many people refuse to go to your salon, you can't stay and operate in that particular area for long.
Right, definitely. Well, I would, definitely encourage you and would just be honored if you would join us in Operation New Creation. I think more people need to hear about your experience, not so much about the nail shop itself, but about the mind shift that took place for you. And it would be great for us to be able to follow you on this journey if you're able to make some posts on that group page and just let us know you know, what's going on with you, whether it's week to week or whatever it may be. I mean, just hearing about your accomplishments thus far with 31 pounds already lost and no longer drinking soda. I mean, I definitely believe that, that those comments and those posts will definitely help to encourage other people. So I would like to extend the opportunity and the invitation for you to join Operation New Creation, because I'm sure you will be on fire on Operation New Creation.
Okay.
I would love to do that. Awesome. I'm geek. I'm telling you, when I hear these stories, and for us, again, we talk about health awareness and we talk about really just promoting this new level of consciousness. You know, I've made a post today on Facebook about this water competition that some of us are taking part in. And I know, Dr. Io, I want you to talk about that again, too, because I remember you made a post on the OMC group page about that water contest. And I know when I first read that thing, it was just intimidating. I was like, at that point, I think I was barely drinking like 36 ounces of water a day. And you came on there, well, I don't know how much water that was. I was like, girl, you know, okay, I'm going to work towards it. What was it?
It's 100 ounces. 100 ounces of water a day is the challenge. And so that's like six of the little, you know, the little bottles. And, you know, for some, that's quite a bit of water. So you just have to work your way up to it. But that is the goal, 100 ounces of water every day, you know, with all of the positive health effects of water. I actually... A really great way to start your day before you put any other fluids or anything in your body is to start off with water. So, like, that's the first thing that you put in your body when you wake up in the morning. You know, there's a lot of positive research. A lot of the times we don't hear the good health effects of simple things that we could do. They always want to promote stuff that you have to pay for. So this is something that is very cheap and easy. All you have to do is drink water. It's going to help you with your skin, your kidneys, your immune system. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. So 100 ounces of water a day, you could do it. Join us.
Okay, so it's not so bad now, because this is what I did. So this is my little tip that I'll share with people, because I'm telling you, I was like, yeah, I remember Chris was like, so are you going to try to do it? I was like, I don't know about that one. But I was working towards it. And see, I remembered that you put the challenge out there, so I've been working towards it. So this is what I did, and this worked for me. And Chris shared this with me, because Chris was talking about going to get going to Target or something, and here I go talking about Target. So I said, I didn't stop that. But anyway, I was going to Target to look for a water bottle, so I went to Target. Yes, I love Target. And they had this cool water bottle. It's 56 ounces, but it's cute. Now, for me, I don't know if other people are like me, but, like, even when I eat, I like attractive food. You know how you like colorful food and you like eat off pretty plates and stuff like that? So it's a pretty water bottle, and it's 56 ounces, but it's not intimidating at all. It has a built-in straw. What is Chris going to look for? BPA-free. Okay, so it's BPA-free, whatever. I don't know exactly what that means yet, but he knows. But anyway, so I got that bottle, and I put lemon in it. I squeezed lemon in my water. And today I did orange slices. And, guys, I'm telling you, I had this bottle for a week now. And since having this bottle, without fail, I have had at least 56 ounces of water every single day. And it's so easy to do it. Like, I look at it, it'll be like a couple hours later, and I'm like, how did I drink all that water? Where it would take me a whole day to drink two bottles of water, I can knock out that 56-ounce thing. So today I had a 56-ounce one, and then I had another half of it, so like another 25 ounces of water. So I did really well today. So that's my goal for this week, is to do at least 75 ounces a day. So by next week, I'll definitely have that 100 ounces. I'm stoked. All right. Okay, I'm excited. See, and sharing that with people, you know, around me, coworkers and friends and so forth, I shared that. They saw the bottle and they were like, oh, that's cool. Where'd you get it? So we got, you know, everyone has bottles now. And so today it was so awesome to see people that I work with that have struggled to even drink, you know, a bottle a day of water since I've known them for over a year. Today they had two of the 56-ounce containers full of water and like, oh, I feel good. This is great. And we're like, we have this little competition going on between us. So I encourage people to just have fun with it. Like, you know, being healthy and eating healthy and so forth doesn't have to be a bore. It can be so much fun if you have people together, you know, that are excited about it, you know, have create some type of friendly competition. Just have fun with it. Get creative with your cooking. I've learned to cook more. You know, I'm the queen of 20-minute meals, but I've learned to cook some healthy things, so I'm so excited about all of this. And oh, you guys can probably hear, I'm, like, so stoked right now that I know I'm closer to that 100 ounces. So, yay.
Clap it up for safety. Clap it up. That's what's up.
But, Billy,
I'm
going to
share with you guys
with
the golden rule.
I don't know.
Okay,
can y'all hear me?
Yes, we hear you. Welcome back.
Thank you.
What's the golden rule, Io?
We had Billy trying all the phones in the house.
I want my corded 1996 telephone, you know?
What's the golden rule?
On the rotary. Okay, the golden rule is if your pee is golden, you need more water. Hey! Like that one? I just came out. That's an original, guys. If your pee is golden, you need more water. So your pee should be water-like. It should be as clear as possible. That's your goal.
Okay.
You get up to 100 ounces, it's just going to be looking crystal clear.
Okay. Yeah, is it normal to go into the restroom like every 20 minutes?
Yeah, Chris had to put me on mute. No,
we're on a mind shift timeout. I tell you. Michelle,
guys,
please bear with
cool.
us. You know, this is just us.
Cool.
This is real. This is a full mind shift experience.
Don't sleep on that, Chris.
This is a mind shift experience. But Michelle, thank you. Billy, did you have anything that you wanted to share before we close out?
Yeah, I just wanted to say, I just thought that was awesome that you can hear the courage in her voice. You know, this story, instead of letting it break her, she used it to break through, you know, and now she's helping people. She sounds confident. She sounds bold. And I just want to say this, that as long as the devil exists in the world, discrimination will exist in the world. And so we can fight against it, but as long as the devil exists, there's always going to be discrimination, there's always going to be a problem, there's always going to be a fool. But that doesn't mean that there's no hope. Yeah, there's always going to be a fool, but the good news is you don't have to be one of them. So we can, you know, choose not to discriminate and judge people and form negative opinions by weighing the outward appearance. And that's all I want to say.
Thank you. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Michelle. We thank you for being on. Again, we commend you for sharing your story. We are so excited about your accomplishments. It sounds like you are a strong woman of faith, a strong woman of God. So I know that you are going to be successful in this journey, and I am just looking forward to hear about the many lives that you are positively impacting by sharing this story and by making that decision to live healthier, to do, you know, what it takes as far as the exercise and eating healthy. And I'm really happy to hear about your family and those connected to you being blessed by this whole experience as well. So truly, God is showing out in this whole experience, and I'm sure this is only the beginning. There's so much more that he has in store. So definitely stay encouraged and stay committed and stay in the game.
Thank you so much, Stacey. I will.
Awesome. Well, that is it, ladies and gentlemen. This is another night, another funny night, another inspirational night, another empowering and encouraging night of Mindshift Talk Radio. Again, you never know what we're going to say. You never know where these conversations are going to go. But as always, we just ask that you keep an open mind to the different perspectives that we share on this show. And, you know, for those of you that are not connected to us yet online, we encourage you to join us on Facebook at Mindshift Talk Radio. You can find all of us on there as well. Dr. Io Kadar, Billy Miller, Stacey Emery, and in the chat room, Mr. Chris, the Possibilitarian Gloss, always cracking us up in the chat room. So thank you all for your support. We thank you for tuning in. We encourage you to share this with others and make sure that you're here next Monday, same time, same place, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. That is it. You guys be blessed. Have a phenomenal week, and we will speak to you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Mind Shift Radio.